We now start the fourth parak of Maseches Kilayim, parak Dalav Mishnah Aleph 4:1. This parak, as well as the next three parakim, deal with the mitzvah of Kilay HaKerem, the prohibition of planting mixed species in a vineyard, that is to say, the prohibition of planting grains, tfu, or greens, yirakos, in a kerem, in a vineyard. And it actually has two very basic dinim that one has to keep in mind throughout the next few parakim. The basic rule is that one has to distance the planting of grains or greens from a vineyard, a kerem. And therefore, the question is, what is the boundary of a kerem? Again, think, just picture in your head, you have an open field, you have a series of grapevines growing there. The question is, within the grapevines is the vineyard. The question is, how far around those vines does the vineyard extend? And the answer is, provided it has the definition of a kerem, which we'll define later in the parak, the rule is that the periphery around those vines, extending out to 4 amos, is considered avodas hakerem, part of the work area of the vineyard, and that's part of the vineyard itself. And therefore, one may not plant grains or greens within 4 amos of the edge of where the grape vines are growing. That presumes that the grapevines have the status of a kerem. If they are just individual grapevines, 1 or 2 or 3 vines, and don't constitute a vineyard, that is individual grapevines, then the distance that one must separate between the vines and the other species, the grains or greens, is just 6 tfachim, which is 1 amah. Okay, so you have to keep that in mind all the time, that the distance we're talking about, if it's a halachically defined kerem vineyard, it's going to be 4 amahs all around. And if it's not a kerem, then it's going to be simply a 6 tfachim, 1 amah distance. Now, as far as the scope of these restrictions of the mitzvah of Kilay HaKerem, two things to keep in mind that are fascinating. The first is the mitzvah applies only in Eretz Yisrael and Midoraisa. That means we're only talking about the prohibition in the land of Israel. However, rabbinically, it's extended even outside of Israel. So this is quite uncommon. Usually, most mitzvahs that are agricultural are only applicable in Israel. However, because Kilay HaKerem is so strict, and the way it's seen as being so strict is that, unlike other prohibitions, if one does grow grains or greens together with grapevines, so then that which growed together, meaning the grapes and the grains and greens, are forbidden to have any benefit from their asur bahana. So that's quite unusual for the Torah. Most things are not that way. And therefore, the rabbis extended the prohibition of Kilay HaKerem even to Chutz La'aretz. The other thing is, it's quite fascinating when one is liable min haTorah, by the Torah, for this violation. So according to the Rambam, and this is not really reflected at all in our Mishnayos, but the Rambam and many other Rishonim learn that the only time one is liable to receive malchus, actual lashes, for violating the prohibition, is if he plants 2 different species, in other words, kilay zroim, in an area that constitutes a kerem, a vineyard. So that is to say that if one would take an individual wheat kernel and plant it in a vineyard, he would not be liable for malchus. Rather, to be liable to get malchus, lashes in the Torah, one would have to plant wheat and barley together in a vineyard. So the way that's described in the Rambam and elsewhere is that you're not liable unless you plant a wheat and barley kernel together with a grape seed. So when those three go together with one throw of the hand into the ground, so what happens is you have a grape seed in the ground that makes the little mini kerem area, and then beside it you have kilay zroim, 2 different species growing together, and that's the violation. And if one would do that, he actually would be then liable twice, 2 sets of lashes, once for kilay zroim, because you planted wheat and barley together, and once for kilay kerem, because you planted wheat and barley, kilay mixture, in a kerem. The reason why it's understood that way is because the pasuk says, "Lasizra karmacha kilayim," don't plant kilayim in your vineyard. So kilayim is a mixture of 2 species, sounds like, other than that which includes the grape, in the area of the grape. So that's how the Rambam learns. That is not to say that it's not an Isra Torah from planting an individual species of grain or green in a vineyard. It still be Asra Minatorah, according to many, including the Rambam. However, it's just not liable for lashes. So that's the parameters of the iser. So now you start the perek. The first case and the second case, actually, in this perek are unusual. Instead of saying the basic dinim, we start out with the questions of the karachas hakerem, a clearing in a vineyard, and the mechol hakerem, the periphery of a vineyard. So let's start one at a time. The karachas hakerem, the clearing in the vineyard, is a case where you have a large expanse of vineyard, and in the middle of that vineyard, you clear out an area where you intend to plant grains or greens. Now, this is considered more strict than the usual case of planting grains or greens beside a vineyard, because let's call it psychologically, when you have grains planted in the midst of a bunch of grapevines, even at a distance from the grapevines, it sure feels like you planted grains or greens in a vineyard. And therefore, the distancing requirements are much larger than usual. So the usual distancing would be, as I said before, simply four amos from where the grapevines end. But here, since you have grapevines on either side of your newly planted grains or greens, because you've had a clearing in the original vineyard, the distances are increased. So how much is distance required? So the answer is you need to distance four amos from the grapevines, let's say on the left, and four amos from the grapevines on the right, because that's the avodas hakerem, the work area that's required to service those vines. And then in the middle, you need to have an area sufficient enough that it's visually distinct, and that area is going to be based on the minimum size of a halachic sadeh, of a field. According to Beis Hillel, a sadeh can be as small as four amos. According to Beis Shammai, it must be eight amos in size. But both of them agree that because you have a vineyard on either side of this area where you're planting now, you're required to have a double measure, meaning not just the amount of space that you could plant a minimal sadeh, but you need double that space for two sados, two fields. And therefore, according to Beis Shammai, since the minimum size for a sadeh is eight amos across, I need a double measurement. You need to have an area of 16 amos, 2 times 8, not including the extra 4 amos on either side of the work area of the vineyard. So you have 2 times 8 is 16, plus the 2 fours on either side, for a total of 24 amos. That's the minimum distance you need to have between the vines on the left to the vines on the right of the clearing, in order to plant anything in that space. And once you have that amount of space, of 24 amos, according to Beis Shammai, then you would be able to plant as much or as little grains or greens in that newly cleared out section of the vineyard as you'd like, provided that they never get within four amos of the vines on either side, because those four amos perimeter around the vines are the avodas hakerem. According to Beis Hillel, the size of a sadeh is not eight, but four amos minimally, and therefore he, in principle, agrees that you need to have a double sadeh measurement, and since one sadeh is minimally four amos, the double measure would be eight amos, plus you need the four amos on either side, so you have eight in the middle, plus four on either side, so that adds up to a total of 16, four plus eight plus four, or four plus four plus four plus four is 16, so therefore Beis Hillel say you need to have a total of 16 amos of clearing between the vines on the left and the vines on the right if you want to plant anything inside that vineyard. And once you have those 16 amos, then you can plant as much or as little as you want in the clearing, the karachat, the clearing, provided that you leave a distance of 4 amos again from the vines on the left and the right, because that's the work area. Okay, so that's the first part of the Mishnah. Let's see it inside. It's actually very brief in the Mishnah itself. The Mishnah simply says, when it comes to the karachas hakerem, the clearing in a vineyard, that means, well, again, it was a vineyard, but you cleared out the middle section. Beis Shammai omrim esrim v'arba amos. Beis Shammai say you need to have a clearing the size of 24 amos minimally, as I explained before, 4 amos for avodas hakerem on either side for a total of 8, plus a double 8, which is 16 in the middle, 16 plus 8, 24. And Beis Hillel omrim shesh esra amos. Beis Hillel say, no, 16 will do. Again, 4 on either side for the avodas hakerem, the work area, and then a double 4 in the middle for a total of 4 plus 4 plus 4 plus 4 is 16. The next din in the Mishnah now is talking about the mechol hakerem. Mechol hakerem, it's actually not clear to me perfectly what the etymology of mechol is in any case, but it means the periphery around the vineyard. The case here is, according to this Tana, you have a vineyard and the vineyard is surrounded by walls. And since it's surrounded by walls, the vineyard is extends out, visually, conceptually, beyond the usual boundaries. That is to say, since it's in a confined space, it seems like the full area of the vineyard extends beyond just the four amos of the work area, all the way to the wall, because it's a walled-in area. And therefore, we're going to say it's more strict than usual. And if you want to plant in this walled-off area that contains a vineyard, you have to distance not just the minimum four amos, but you need to have a more visually distinct area. And that visually distinct area is you need to have four amos from the vines, plus the area for a single sadeh. Again, Beis Hillel holds that's just four amos. Beis Shammai holds that's eight amos. And then you also need to have four amos from the walls. And the reason why is because it's not normal to plant close to the wall. And in the time of the Mishnah, people were particularly wanted traffic, foot traffic, to go close to the walls that are, with shallow foundations as it was back then, to keep the ground strengthened and firm so that the walls shouldn't collapse. So therefore, if one were to plant near the walls, it's not really looked at as like a normal place to plant and doesn't make it sort of visually distinct. And therefore, if you want to plant in a mechol hakerem, the periphery around the vineyard that's surrounded by a wall, you'll need to have a distance of four amos from the end of the vines, plus four amos from the wall inwards, because that doesn't count, so to speak, plus an area of a sad in the middle, which according to Beis Shammai is eight amos. So 4 plus 8 plus 4 adds up to 16 amos. And Beis Hillel says, no, asada is simply 4 amos minimally, and therefore you need 4 plus 4 plus 4, the bodas akarim, side of the sada, and then the distance from the wall. So Beis Hillel will say 12 amos is sufficient. Meaning, if you have a 12 amma area to plant, 12 amma is measured from the edge of the wall to the edge of the vines, so then you may plant grains or greens in that area, that mechol hakarim. Provided that, again, your planting can be as small or large as you want, but you cannot bring your grains or greens within four amos of the vines. So you could plant, in case of, if you had 12 amos, you could plant up to a total of 8 amos of grains or greens, extending, starting from a distance 4 amos from the grapevines, and extending all the way to the wall, if you so chose. The Mishnah says inside, mechol hakerem, when it comes to the periphery around a walled-off vineyard, so, Beis Shammai Omrim Shesh Esra Amma, you need to have a minimum of 16 amos of empty space between the edge of the vines and the wall. And Beis Hillel Omrim Shtem Esra Amma, no, 12 is sufficient. Again, 4 for the Vodas Hakerem, 4 for the minimum size of a Sadeh, and 4 distancing from the wall. The Mishnah continues, Ezu Hi Karachas Hakerem. What is the definition of a Karachas Hakerem, a clearing in a vineyard? That's Kerem Shecharav Me'emtso. That means you have a vineyard that was destroyed in the middle of it, the clearing in the middle of a vineyard. Im ein sham sheshu sha'ama lo yovi zera l'sham. If you haven't got a distance of 16 amos, then you may not plant anything there. Hayu sham sheshu sha'ama. Once you have 16 amos of distance between the last of the vines and the wall itself, nos no avadaso, you provide the workspace for the vines, meaning four amos, vizorea as a mosar, and you can plant everything from then on, all the way up to the wall, as much or as little as you like. Maseches Kilayim, Perek Dalet, Mishnah Beis, 4:2. The previous Mishnah said that although the usual rule is the amount of distance you need to keep from a vineyard in order to plant grains and greens and not be over the Isra of Kilay HaKerem is 4 amos. But then we said there are two exceptions. One is the Karachas HaKerem and one is the Mechol HaKerem. We said the Karachas HaKerem, the cleared out section in a vineyard, is where there was a contiguous vineyard and then you clear out some vines from the middle and want to plant in there. And there the rules are more strict because you're in the middle of what once was a vineyard and you have vines to your left and to your right, etc. And the second category was the Mechol HaKerem, where we said, at least according to Beis Hillel, you need to have a total of 12 amos space. Now, we didn't exactly define it, and here in Mishnah Beis we define it. Ezehu Mechol HaKerem. What constitutes this special case called the Mechol HaKerem? Bein Kerem LeGader. It's the space between the end of the vines and the wall that goes around the vineyard. Im Ein Sham Shtemesra Amma. If you don't have 12 amos of empty space between the last of the vines and the edge of the wall, so then Lo Yavi Zer L'Sham. You can't plant any grains or any greens in that space, even though you're more than 4 amos away from the vines, because since it's walled in, that's called a Mechol HaKerem, it's more strict because it feels, at least conceptually, you're still inside a boxed-in vineyard. Hayu Sham. On the other hand, if there is a total of 12 amma, of 12 amos of unplanted ground between the end of the vines and the wall, then nos no vadoso, then you give the vineyard its work area, meaning you have to distance at all events at least 4 amos from the edge of where the vines end, and then vizareya esamosar, you can plant the remainder as much as you like, meaning even up to the wall. So you can plant anything as little as one grain of wheat, or up to a total of 8 amos, meaning once you've left the 4 amos area, work area around the vineyard, you can plant all the way up to the wall itself, and that's okay. But if you didn't have 12, if you had only 11 amos, let's say, you can't plant at all in that area, since it feels and seems like it's a boxed-in area reserved to be part of the vineyard. Maseches Kilayim, Perek Dalet, Mishnah Gimel, 4-3. In the previous mission, we said that one of the two special cases, the Mechol HaKerem, where you need to have more than just merely 4 amos distance between the end of the vineyard and where you can plant grains or greens, is the area of a vineyard that is enclosed by a wall. Rabbi Yehuda here is going to disagree. And he says, Ein ze ela geder HaKerem. He says, there are two exceptions to the rule of the 4 amos distance from the kerem. One is the karachas hakerem, one is the mechol hakerem. But what you described in the previous Mishnah of the area between the edge of the vines and a wall is not the mechol hakerem. It's not the exceptional case. That's just a generic geder hakerem. It's a fenced-in vineyard. And a fenced-in vineyard or a wall of a vineyard doesn't carry any special requirements. Meaning, according to Rabbi Yehuda at least, if you give the vineyard, it's 4 amos of work area, you can plant up against the wall, no problem. So a walled-in area, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that has a vineyard in the middle of it, doesn't have any special status, the rules are the same as they always are, even without the wall, meaning just give the 4 amos, and then you can plant as much as you want. However, Rabbi Yehuda does agree there is such a thing called a mechol hakerem, and he agrees that the mechol hakerem is more strict than the generic case, meaning that you need to have, according to Beis Hillel, 12 amos of empty space before you plant anything there, unlike the usual requirements of merely just distancing from 4 amos away from the end of the vines. And what is that? The Ve'ezehu mechol hakerem. What constitutes a mechol hakerem? Bein shnei hakramim. If you are considering an area that's unplanted between two separate vineyards. That is to say, that according to Rabbi Yehuda, both the karachas hakerem and the mechol hakerem are scenarios where you have vines to the left and vines to the right, and perhaps also to the north and south. But let's keep it in two dimensions. You have vines on either side of the area you're planting, and therefore you need to have a larger than usual space in the middle. The difference, according to Rabbi Yehuda, is if there had been vines planted there and you cleared them away, it's called a karachas hakerem, a clearing in the kerem, the vineyard, and it's even more strict. Whereas the mechol hakerem never had any grapevines planted in this open area. But it's an open area which is surrounded on both sides by grapevines, and therefore it's more strict than usual. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, in such a case, the mechol requires not just 4 amos from the vines on the left and 4 amos from vines on the right, but also a separate additional area of 4 amos in the middle between the two that's large enough that could constitute an entire field, sadeh, according to Beis Hillel, and therefore the minimum distance of unplanted area between the vines on the left and the vines on the right would be 12 amos. If you have the 12 amos, then you've got the 4 amos work area for the left vines and 4 amos work area for the right vines, and you have up to 4 amos you could plant in the middle, or you could plant less than that, up to 4 as much as you wanted if you had just a total of 12. Anything less than 12 amos distance between the vines on the left and vines on the right, and you couldn't plant there at all. So again, Rabbi Yehuda is arguing over what the special case of the Mechol HaKerem is, on the definition of a Mechol HaKerem. According to the Tana Kama, let's call him, of the previous Mishnah, of Mishnah Beis, it was the space between a vineyard and a wall that surrounds a vineyard, and that's where you need 12 amos distance between the wall and the vines. According to Rabbi Yehuda, no, the Mechol HaKerem is not anything to do with a wall. If there's a wall around the vineyard, it makes no difference. It's the usual 4 amos that you need to give. The special case of Mechol HaKerem, according to Rabbi Yehuda, is where you have vines on either side and just never plants in the middle. So since you have vines on either side, it's more strict. You need to have not just 4 amos space on either side to give the Vodas HaKerem, but you need an additional 4 amos for a total of 12, because it's a Mechol HaKerem. The Bartender speaks out that the Yerushalmi indicates that it's not simply a space between two vineyards that have been planted, but in fact, a that the two vineyards are clearly distinct. They don't run exactly parallel one to the other. So that might mean, for example, very simply, according to Bartonura, that, you know, the way that the vines are running are, let's say, east to west on the left vineyard, and then the right vineyard, they're running north to south. And that being the case, they're clearly two separate vineyards altogether. And that's the Mechol HaKerem, the space between those two clearly distinct vineyards. Meaning that according to the Yerushalmi, if the vines on the left and the vines on the right were aligned one with the other, just the break in the middle, and therefore it's not clear there are two vineyards, it could be, so to speak, one vineyard with a break, so to speak. If that would be the case, then Rebbe Yehuda would consider that also like a Karachas HaKerem, like the Tanakama would, meaning that you need to have not 12, but 16 amos space between the vines on the left and the vines on the right. That is to say, let me sum this up because it's a little confusing. According to the Tanakama, not Rebbe Yehuda, according to the Tanakama, if you have vines on the left and vines on the right, it's called a Karachas HaKerem, meaning you need 16 unplanted amos of land before you can plant anything between the two vines. The typical Karachas HaKerem is a clearing where you had vines running throughout, but you cleared away a section. But at least according to this now in Mishnah Gimel here, if you never had those vines planted in the middle area, it wouldn't matter. It's still a Karachas HaKerem according to the Tanakama. It's just a clearing between vines on the left and vines on the right. And it's not essential that there had been vines planted there previously to make it a Karachas. According to Rebbe Yehuda, it is essential that there were vines planted there originally, and they were cleared away to make it a Karachas requiring 16 amos. If there were never vines planted there at all, then the requirement would be just 12 amos because it's a mechol, just simply a space between two vineyards. But according to Yerushalmi, as the Bartonura brings it, that only applies, meaning the leniency of 12, not the full 16 requirement of the Karachas, according to Rebbe Yehuda, only applies where the orientation of the two vineyards, the one on the left and the one on the right, are perpendicular one to the other, so that it's clear that they're two separate vineyards and not simply one vineyard that just has a break in the middle. So if there would be one vineyard, so to speak, with a break in the middle, meaning the vines are parallel on the left and on the right, then even Rebbe Yehuda would agree you need 16 as a Karachas. It's just that when they're perpendicular on the left relative to the right, that you can go with just 12 as a Mechol. Now, the Mishnah continues on here, but we're actually totally changing gears. This could be a new Mishnah altogether. It's quite confusing because the next words are Ezu Geder, what constitutes a wall, a Geder. And you might think that we're defining the wall that was referenced previously in the Mishnah, but we're not. What we're defining here is a wall that would be a partition separating vines from grain or greens. Meaning, if you have grapevines or a vineyard growing and you put a partition closing it off, on the other side of the partition, you could plant grains or greens right up to the wall, right up to the partition, because it's clearly a divider, and then I plant it together. So that means, although the usual rule is you need four amos between a vineyard and grains or greens, if you put a partition, a wall, let's say, that separates the grains from the greens, so then you could plant the distance between the grains and the greens even with less space than four amos, because there's a partition that separates the two. So we're saying here, what constitutes a sufficient partition? Ezehu geder, what defines that wall? It's shehu gavoa asar tefachim. As long as that wall is 10 tefachim high, tefach roughly 4 inches, so 10 tefachim roughly a meter, a yard. It's actually a little less than a meter, not close to a yard. In any case, so as long as it's 10 tefachim high, 10 handbreadths wide, that is sufficient, and there's no thickness requirement, meaning if it's just a paper-thin partition, but it's 10 tefachim tall, waist height, so then you can plant vines on one side of the partition and grains or greens on the other side of the partition. V'charitz, if instead of a wall above ground, you have a ditch below ground, that's the partition dividing the two sections of your land, so then that ditch, shu amok asara, if it's 10 tefachim deep, again, like a yard deep, and v'rachav arba'a, and it's 4 tefachim wide, not 4 amos wide. I can tell that because arba'a, with the hey at the end, is masculine, like tefachim. If it were talking about amos, it would be feminine and say arba, without the hey at the end. So the hey at the end indicates we're talking about arba'a, masculine 4 tefachim, not amos, and a tefach is a handbreadth. So we're saying that if the ditch is 4 tefachim, 4 handbreadths, roughly, I don't know, 15 inches, say, wide. So then that is a sufficient partition. And on either side of the ditch, you could, on one side, you could have a vineyard, let's say, and the other side, right up to the ditch, you could have grains or greens, and that wouldn't be a problem. It also, by the way, stands to reason that our bio is referring to tefachim, besides for the grammatical necessity of it, because if it was saying 4 amos, then the ditch would be doing nothing. You can plant grains and greens 4 amos away from a vineyard, even without a partition. Maseches Kilayim, Perek Dalet, Mishnah Dalet, it's 4:4. The previous Mishnah had said that while the usual rule is one must distance from a vineyard 4 amos before planting grains or greens, and if he has a single individual vine, the distance would be 6 tefachim. But if there is a partition that separates between the grapevines and the grains or greens, then there's no problem on planting on either side up to the wall. So in other words, from a bird's eye view, the distance between the grapevine and the wheat stalk could be, you know, 2 inches if between the two of them is a partition. That was the previous Mishnah. Now this Mishnah here is going to say that mechitza sakanim, if the partition you use isn't even a solid wall. In the previous Mishnah, we said there's no thickness requirement, which is why it could be paper thin, and that's how you could have 2 inches, so to speak, between the vine and the wheat stalk. But here we're saying a mechitza sakanim, if the partition is not even a solid partition at all, it's just a series of poles, one after the other. A kana is like a stick or a reed, like bamboo or something. So that's also an effective partition. And im ein ben kana lechavero, provided that the distance between each stake in the ground is less than shlosha tefachim, 3 tefachim, about, let's say, 11 inches, something like that. So if there's less than 3 tefachim, 3 handbreadths, 11 inches between one pole in the ground and the next pole in the ground, so a rule kicks in, and that rule is called lavud. I'm actually not sure what the etymology of the word lavud is, to be totally honest. But the word lavud is the notion, the legal notion, that if two things are within 3 tefachim of one another, it's as if they're connected for the sake of establishing a partition. And that being the case, if one wants to plant a vineyard on the west and a wheat field on the east, the previous Mishnah said you need to put a wall 10 tefachim high. And that wall has no thickness requirements. It'd be paper thin, but it's a wall. This Mishnah is saying the truth is no walls required. You can just put a series of poles in the ground on that dividing line between the vineyard and the wheat. And that being the case, you wouldn't even 2 inches. You could be, so to speak, be 1/2 inch apart, if you will, as long as you just don't violate the line that is delineated by the poles. Then you can have one section be vineyard, one section be wheat field, let's say, and the poles act as a partition. And we imagine, legally imagine, that the poles define a contiguous solid wall, a solid partition. That's the rule of lavud. So the Mishnah therefore says, mechitza sakanim, if your partition is made out of poles. Im ein bein kan lechavero shlosha tefachim, if the distance between one pole and the next is less than 3 tefachim, kadei shikanas hagadi, which would be the width which would allow for a goat to pass through. That is to say, the notion of 3 tefachim is, if it's less than that, that would stop a goat from going through easily. If it's 3 tefachim or more, then goats could go through. And the idea is that essentially the Chazal's intuition, if a goat could pass through, then it would not be an effective partition. And therefore, we need to be within 3 tefachim of one to the next. So then, hare zu kemechitza. Then that string of poles, that series of poles, is effective in establishing a partition. And you could plant the vineyard on one side of the poles and the field of grain on the other side of the poles. The geder shnifrat's a new din here. If you have a geder, we're back to a wall. And that wall, we said you can plant on either side of the wall, one side vineyard, one side grain, no problem. What happens if you have a pirtza, a breach in that wall? So the idea would be now that there's no thing between where your vines are growing and where your wheat is growing. So just like in the previous clause of the Mishnah, we said that's okay because we can make a legal connection between the poles and imagine there's something, you know, an invisible line that passes between the poles that separates clearly and therefore not that there's a wheat field on one side and a grape vineyard at the other side. So too, if you have a pirtza, a breach in a wall, since it's clear that there's a wall running here. Even if there's no actual wall physically present, you are allowed to plant on either side of the breach and allow to have wheat on one side and vines on the other side, even though there's nothing physically dividing between the two. What's the size that a breach could be? Ad asara amos, vast. It could be up to 10 amos wide. So you have a large wall. Let's say, for argument's sake, the wall is 100 feet long. In the middle of the wall, there's a breach. Some walls, get broken down. Some stones are removed, whatever the story is. Even if that is up to 10 amos wide, so an amma, let's say, is 18 inches, a foot and a half. So it could be, 13, 14 feet across of gap in the wall. Without any problem, you could plant the wheat on the one side of where the wall used to be and the grapes on the other side of where the wall used to be. And although there's nothing actually dividing the wheat from the grapes for 10, 12, 14 feet, not a problem. Harehi kapesach, it's the exact same as if there'd be an intentional entranceway, meaning like a gate or a door, in the wall where the din is the same, that you could plant on either side of the door or doorway or wall, or breach for that matter, no problem. Yasser mekain, however, if the width of the breach exceeds 10 amos, something like around, 5 meters, 15, 16 feet, at that point, so then, kenegad ha-pirtza aser, you no longer can allow wheat or any other grain to be on one side of where the wall used to be, and grapevines on the other side of where the wall used to be, within dal amos, one or the other, because essentially we say that breach is so large, it's now that you have two separate walls, and where the breach is, there's no wall at all. If it be less than 10 amos across of the breach, then we say it's one single contiguous wall, just with an opening in the middle. What happens if nifritzu bo pirtzos harbe? What happens if you have multiple breaches in the wall? Each breach is less than 10 amos, but you have lots of them. So do we say it's like one wall just with a lot of holes, each one, imaginarily connected to the main wall? Or do we say we have several separate walls where the walls aren't there between one and the next, where the breach is, one couldn't plant grain on one side and a vineyard on the other side? So the answer is, im ha'omed meruba al haparutz. If the amount of walls still standing exceeds the amount of wall that has fallen down, meaning for argument's sake, if your wall were 100 feet long, so as long as you have 51 feet of the wall still standing, even if 49 feet of the wall fell in various places, as long as none of the individual places is more than 10 amos across, so then you're allowed to plant along the entire border defined by the wall and where the wall used to be. Not a problem. It's considered one single wall, just with many breaches. Ima parts meruba la omed, on the other hand, if there's more that has fallen than standing, so your 100-foot wall now is 51 feet is open and 49 feet still stand, so then we look at it as each of the different sections that are still standing are a separate wall, and there's no invisible line connecting one wall to the next part of the wall, and therefore, kenegada pirtza aser, every area where there's a pirtza, a breach in the wall, you'd have to make sure that the distance between the remaining grain and the vineyard is now back up to 4 amos, because we look at the various breaches in the wall as being non-existent, because the majority of the wall has fallen down. Maseches Kilayim, Perek Dalet, Mishnah Hey, 4-5. This Mishnah starts out with the unspoken assumption, the tradition, that the minimum number of vines, of trunks of grape vines, for something to be considered to be a kerem, is 5. Fewer than 5 separate grape vines, trunks, they're like trees, right? So trunks of grapes coming to the ground, if they're fewer than 5, it could never be a kerem. What isn't clear, however, is the formation of those, the arrangement of those 5 vines. So we'll see here, it's a machlokas between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. The Mishnah says, Hanotea shura shel chamesh gafanim. If a person plants a row of 5 grape vines, I'll call them grape trees for a second, because you have to, if you've never seen it, it's hard to imagine it correctly. You're not imagining it right. Imagine it as a tree. There's like a trunk coming out the ground, and then the branches spread, and those are the vines off of which the grapes grow. So you need to have 5 separate trunks, if you will, coming out of the ground to be considered to be a kerem. And the word notea is a verb that's applicable specifically to trees, in fact, as opposed to zorea, which is planting, small things on the ground. So Hanotea Shur Shel Chamesh Gafanim, if one plants a single row of five grapevines, Beishame Omrim Kerem. Beishame says that satisfies what a definition of a vineyard is, meaning that now the distance is upped from six tfachim to four amos away from those tree trunks, let's call them. Ubeis Hillel Omrim, no, Eino Kerem Ad Shu Sham Shtei Shuros. Beis Hillel hold no, that they agree that the minimum number of grape trees is five. However, a single row doesn't constitute the kerem. It has to be two rows of vines in order for it to be a kerem. In the next mission, we'll discuss the geometry of those, how there's five of our range. But for now, the question simply is, given that you need five at least, is one row sufficient to make a kerem? Beis Shammai says yes, and Beis Hillel says no. Now the Mishnah says, Lefikach, and therefore, Hazorea, here the verb is zorea, planting besides a tree, arba amos shebekerem. If one plants, let's say wheat, whatever, any grain or any green, within four amos of the vineyard, so that's forbidden, of course, that's kilai hakerem. And that being the case, the rule will be that the entire, besides what you planted, you know, the wheat that you planted, which is forbidden, asurbana, so too the grapevines in the kerem are also forbidden. If they grow together, they're asur bahana, they must be destroyed. So how many grapevines must be destroyed and can't get benefit from? The answer is one kerem worth. And that being the case, since Beis Shammai holds that a kerem could be a single row, let's say for argument's sake, you have a vineyard, which is, you know, the trunks of the vines of the grapes are, let's say they're 10 by 10. It's 100, you know, 100 grapevines, 10 by 10. So if on one edge next to, let's say, you know, the A5, you know, like next to one of the vines in the edge in the middle somewhere, you plant some wheat, that will ruin an entire vineyard worth, a legal kerem. And since Beis Shammai holds a kerem can be a single row, that'll mean it'll be just one row of 10, like the whole of, let's call it, you know, A1 through A10, if you know what I mean, like on a chessboard, so to speak, or a, you know, an Excel spreadsheet. So it'll take just one row. Those 10 outer vines will be now forbidden, because Beis Shammai say a single row is considered to be a vineyard. That, fine. And Beis, so it says again, Lefika chazarea arba amos shebekerem, one plants within four amos of the vineyard, Beis Shammai omrim, kidesh shura achas, a single row becomes forbidden. Kidesh here means to be legally forbidden, like set aside. And Beis Hillel omrim, kidesh de shuros, Beis Hillel says no, two rows of vines are rendered forbidden. The reason, because he says that the minimum vineyard is two rows worth. Now, for simplicity's sake, we'll explain with like the Rambam here, because the Mishnah kind of got ahead of itself. And I'll come back, Blinetter, to saying the Rosh's understanding of this Mishnah. But the Rambam's understanding of the Mishnah, like the Bartanura, is it's one whole row for Beis Shammai, the whole outer row, and Beis Hillel has the whole two rows deep, the whole outer row. Most outer row in the second, most outer row next to where the forbidden grain is growing. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, will come back to explaining the Rosh when I establish more halachas in the next Mishnah. Maseches Kilayim, Perek Dalet, Mishnah Vav, 4-6. We've established now that there's a difference between a vineyard and individual vines with regard to how far the distance must be between those vines and some grains or greens. We said, once it's a kerem, a vineyard, then the distance is four amos from those trunks. If it's not a legal kerem, then it's just six tfachim. So we said, now what defines a kerem? So far we've said that it needs to have at least five vines, and we saw according to Beis Shammai, a single row of five vines is sufficient. According to Beis Hillel, you need to have two rows of five vines. Now if you try to draw a picture, you'll see there's no real symmetrical way to draw five tree trunks amongst two lines, because of course you need to have two in one and three in the other. So now the Mishnah is going to explain the formation of these vines to constitute a kerem, and not just anything will do. According to the Bartanura, there are many pshatim here. I'm going to stick to the Bartanura just to keep things really simple here. It's really less is more. So according to Bartanura, the formation that's required is that there's four vines in two rows, and in each of those two rows, those vines must be parallel one to the other. That is to say, if you look at the four trunks, they form a rectangle. They're the four vertices, the four corners of a rectangle, right? Because imagine, like, you know, two rows. On one row is A and B. vines, and on the second row is C and D vines. And we're saying that A and C have to be exactly lined up the same way that B and D are exactly lined up, such that you have the four vines forming a rectangle. It doesn't need to be a square, because the spacing between A and B can be larger or shorter than between A and C. But it can't be like a parallelogram or a trapezoid, where you have if you drew the quadrilateral, the four sides connected like the dots of these four vines, they wouldn't form right angles. That's essential, that they're exactly opposite one to the other. So that's the first four. And the fifth one can be anywhere on the line, meaning if the fifth one is in the AB line, then it could be just, you know, somewhere next to B or next to A. And if it's on the CD line, somewhere next to C or D. So then it forms, so to speak, the four A, B, C, D make a rectangle, and there's a fifth that comes in the line of the AB line or the CD line. So that is what the Mishnah says here, and that's the Bartanura's understanding of the Mishnah, and we're going to stick to it. So Hanotea Shtayim Keneged Shtayim. If you plant two opposite two, that is say each row has two. Again, I think the best way to imagine it, and I hope it's true, is that the Mishnah is assuming that the grapevines are planted as grapes are planted, which is essentially you set up like a metal wire, let's say, between two poles, and that is what you'll train the grapevines on. So you'll plant two trees, grape trees, beneath that metal wire, and when they grow, you'll train the vines that come off each of those two tree trunks on the metal wire, something like that. So we're saying that there's two rows, meaning two metal wires running across, and then AB is on the first, CD is on the second, and A and C are exactly lined up, and B and D are exactly lined up, such that they form amongst them a nice rectangle. And then the last one, E, can be anywhere in either one of those two lines, provided it's not too far away. We'll get back to the spacing in the next Mishnah, yes. Okay, so Hanotea Shtayim Keneged Shtayim. If you plant two parallel to two, that means A and C exactly lined up with B and D. So then Va'achatz Yotza'a Zanav, and one more, meaning the fifth one, E, comes out, so to speak, like a tail, meaning it's just, you know, on the dangling on the end there. Hare Zeh Kerem. That is the definition, the minimum definition of a kerem. Meaning that now Shtayim Keneged Shtayim Va'achatz Beintayim. If you have A, B, C, D lined up as they should be, you know, making a nice rectangle, but the fifth one isn't on the line, isn't on the A, B line or the C, D line. Instead, it kind of comes out in the middle, making like a pentagon shape, you know, like if you sort of speak like a house, if you know what I mean, shape, outline of a house. So meaning that it's in the middle, for argument's sake, it's not on either of the two lines. So then, no good. That's no good. Shtayim Keneged Shtayim, or you have your rectangle of the first four, but Va'achas Be'emtza, the fifth one's in the middle. Imagine like, you know, on a die, the number five. So you have the four corners, but then the fifth one is in the middle. The Beintayim was outside of the rectangle, and the Emtza is inside the rectangle. In both those cases, Eino Kerem, that doesn't work. Ad Shiyu Shtayim Keneged Shtayim Va'achas Yotza Zanav. It has to be specifically two parallel to the other two, which is why I'm saying it's specifically and only a rectangle and not a parallelogram, etc. Va'achas Yotza Zanav. The fifth one just, you know, goes somewhere on that line and not off the line, either line AB or line CD. Okay, Maseches Kilayim, Perek Dalet, Mishnah Zayin, 4-7. We said now that the Kerem minimally has five vines, according to Beis Hillel, which is the halacha, on two different rows, and at least the four of them have to be exactly lined up, parallel one to the other, forming, if you will, the four vertices, the four corners of a rectangle. So, what if, says the Mishnah, those two rows are owned by two different people? Do they constitute a collective vineyard? The Mishnah says, Hanotea Shura'achas Besof Shalo, if Reuven, in the southern part of his field, which borders Shimon, has, you know, one row of vines, let's say, you know, three, doesn't matter. B'shurach b'soch shel chavero. And then Shimon, on the other side of the property line, has a row of vine, let's say, you know, also three, and they're lined up as they should be, you know, like forming essentially, you know, at least one rectangle between the two rows, one Reuven's and one Shimon's. So then, that's going to be considered to be a kerem, no problem. Not only is that a kerem if it's owned by two people, but even if there's something that goes between the two rows. So for example, v'derech ha'yachid, v'derech ha'rabim be'emtza, even if a path, a private path or a public path, goes between those two rows, we'll see later on that provided that those rows are sufficiently close together, can't be a massively wide road that would keep the vine too far apart. But the path per se, whether it's public or private, doesn't break up a vineyard. You could just have a path going through a vineyard. And that being the case, it's still a vineyard requiring a full dalat amos extension around the whole perimeter of the vineyard. Not only that, but even if you have a gather, you have a low fence, shu namuch ma'asara tefachim, provided that fence is less than 10 tefachim high. We said that 10 tefachim is your requisite height for a partition, and that would break up the vineyard, but since it's only less than 10, let's say 9 tefachim high, so then, hare elu mitstarfos. If that is the case, the two rows, even though they're owned by Reuven on the one side and Shimon by the other, so Reuven has one row, Shimon has a second row, and even if there is a path running between or a short wall less than 10 tefachim high between them, that's still mitzaref, and they're considered to be a single vineyard, a single kerem. On the other hand, gova ma'asara tefachim, if the partition that runs between the two rows is more than 10 tefachim high, and the truth is 10 tefachim exactly would be sufficient, then enam mitzarfos. That would break up the would-be legal vineyard, meaning now you have just have a row in Reuven's field and a row in Shimon's field, and either one has a status of being a vineyard, and therefore you could distance just 6 tefachim from the vines in Reuven and Shimon's areas on their own. Rabbi Yehuda says, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, im erison milamala, he says, you know what? If you drape over, if you trellis over the vines, over the partition, so then even if that partition is more than 10 high, since you've got, let's say, you know, Reuven's vines are crossing over the wall into Shimon's side, Reuven's draped them over, so then, and similarly Shimon's, you like over the wall also, so that they're crossing over on both sides of the crossing over the wall from either direction. Hare elam et starfos. Then once again, notwithstanding the fact that there's a partition running between the two rows of vines, those vines are considered interconnected to form a single kerem, a single vineyard. And again, you're back to the four almost requirements around. The halach, however, is not like Rabbi Yehuda, says the Rambam, and therefore, if you actually have a partition, the partition is a partition. Worth noting, if you look back in the second parak, the beginning of the second parak of Peah, you will see that we talked about walls and paths not being effective as partitions for the halachos of Peah and, you know, orchards and so. However, if you look there, you'll see the halachos are not exactly the same. Ayin Shah, I don't want to make the issue confusing over here. So in any case, here our Mishnah says that the partition of ten high does break it up. Rabbi Yehuda says if you drape the vines over from either side, it reconnects them. Halach, however, like the Tana Kama, Paskins the Rambam, meaning once you have a partition, even with the draping over, that the two rows are disconnected and you haven't got a vineyard if there's one row on either side of the partition. Maseches Kilayim, Perek Dalet, Mishnah Ches, 4:8. We continue to define the geometry and various requirements that constitutes a kerem, a vineyard, for these halachas. And so far we've said it has to be at least 5 vines arranged in 2 rows, where 4 of the 5 vines are parallel one to the other, such that the 4 of them define a rectangle. And we said that being the case, even a low partition or a road wouldn't break them up. Even different ownership wouldn't break them up. Here the question, however, is how close do they need to be together? So the Mishnah says it will depend on how many rows there are. If there are 2 rows, it's got to be closer together, and if they're 3 rows or more, they can be further apart. At least that's the sheet of this Tana and this Mishnah, and which will not be halacha, which I'll sum up at the end. So the Mishnah here says, Hanoteya shtei shuros. If you have just 2 rows of vines, so then the distance between one row and the next row of vines, im ein beinehim shmona amos, if there is less than 8 amos, so then lo yavi zera lasham, you can't plant between them. That is to say, that provided that there's less than 8 amos between the two rows, the rows are considered to be connected as a single vineyard, and you have to plant around them. If there's 8 amos or more, it breaks them up into two separate rows, and if that's all you have no kerem anymore, because a kerem requires 2 connected rows. And if they are more than 8 amos apart, so then you have to plant just, 6 tfachim away from each of the vines on each of the rows. No 4 amos requirement anymore. So the first din is, if there are just 2 rows, the distance required is within 8 amos. On the other hand, hayu shalosh, if you have 3 rows of vines, or for that matter, 4, 5, 6 rows of vines, so then we're now allowing it to have further spacing. Im ein bein shura l'chaverta shesh esra ama, if you don't have 16 amos, which is quite a ways, it's like, 8 meters, whatever it is, 25 feet, it's a good spacing. If you haven't got that much spacing, then it's considered to be one gigantic spread out vineyard, and that being the case, lo yavi zer l'sham, you can't plant any grain or green anywhere between the rows of the vineyards, even up to, but not including, a full 16 amos spacing. Now, here's the what if. The what if the Mishnah is about to entertain is, what if it started out as 3 rows, but then the middle row got raised? Somehow the middle row of vines got destroyed. So now you have what once was one contiguous vineyard, now is 2 rows of vines. But it used to be 3 rows of vines. So do we look at it as being now just 2 rows, and therefore the requirement goes down to 8 again? Or since this used to be a vineyard, and now just you have some missing vines in the middle, we still stick to the 16 amos requirement. And here it says, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Omer, Mishum Chananya ben Hachinai, Afilu Charba hem tzait. Even if you had 3 rows, but the middle row gets destroyed somehow, the ein bein shur l'chaverta, and the distance between row 1 and what was row 3, and when there was a second row in the middle, if there isn't shesh esra amos, 16 amos between the two, then lo yavi zer l'sham, then you wouldn't be able to plant any grains or greens between the 2 rows. That is to say, here, we're, at least according to Elazar ben Yaakov, in the name of Chananya ben Chachinai, if you have what was 3 rows, but now you're down to 2 rows, it still has a din of being like 3 rows, meaning the requirement is 16 amos between the 2 remaining rows. That's what we set up to now. Now, if you reflect back on the first Mishnah of this Perek, you'll remember that this seems to be basically the rule of the Karachas HaKerem. Remember the clearing in the vineyard, where we said, in a Karachas HaKerem, you need to have 16 amos between the 2 rows in the clearing in order to plant there. So this is the same 16 amos. It sounds the same thing. The only problem is, it's quite clear from the Yerushalmi that for a Karachas HaKerem, you need to have a bona fide kerem, at least on one side of the Karachas. That is to say, a single row on either side of the clearing wouldn't constitute a kerem, because we said you need 2 rows for a kerem, and that, therefore you wouldn't have the Karachas HaKerem rule. So here it seems that Elazar ben Yaakov would be more strict than the usual Karachas HaKerem case. Now, the reason why is either A, because the Yerushalmi suggests that he holds like Beis Shammai, that a single row is a kerem, and that would then make this essentially, yes, it's a Karachas HaKerem. It's a clearing in a vineyard, because each of those 2 individual rows constitute a full kerem on their own. Alternatively, he just says that he holds like Beis Hill, it's just that he's stricter than the usual Karachas HaKerem requirements, because that's his shita, he's more strict than usual. Meaning he's got a more chamer shita. Okay. The Mishnah ends up by saying, she'ilu, because if it had been metchila natan, that you planted it originally a full, more than 8, but even less than 16 amos apart, so we're back to the 2 row configuration, where we said 8 is the requirement, within 8, then harei ze mutter b'shmona amos, that once you hit the full 8, almost distance between row 1 and row 2, you could plant the whatever grains or greens there. Okay, we won't see it just yet, but I just have to insert that the halacha isn't like this Mishnah. That is to say, we'll see later on, at the end of the parak, we'll see that the requirement is always going to be within 8 amos. So that is to say, even if you have 3 rows or 4 rows or 5 rows, the distance between each the rows to constitute a contiguous kerem is no more than 8 amos. Like Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Shimon Paskin in the next Mishnah, end of the next Mishnah, okay? So that's the din, and of course, the halacha by the Karachas HaKerem is it needs to be at least a kerem on one side, so this din about 16 amos. If it's a single row on either side, would not be the case. They need 16 amos between, you need to, of clearing where a section of the vineyard had been raised. To require 16 amos would mean that at least one of the two sides of the clearing still has a full legal kerem of two rows. Maseches Kilayim, Perek Dalet, Mishnah Tes, 4-9. The Mishnah continues to discuss the distancing between individual rows of vines that constitute a kerem, a vineyard, which would require the spacing of the distancing of four amos away if one wants to plant grains or greens near those vines. And here it says, Hanoteas karmo al sheshesra ama sheshesra ama. If a person plants his vineyard in such a way that each row of vines is a full 16 amos away from the next row. So in the previous Mishnah we had said, at least according to that Tana, that if you had two rows, then the distance is 8 amos. And if there are three rows or more, it becomes 16 amos. But here we're saying once you reach the full 16 amos, because you have three or more rows, so actually each row stands as a distinct set of individual vines, as opposed to a connected vineyard. And therefore each row just requires a distancing of 6 tfachim, and one could plant between one row and the next row, because there's a distance there of 16 amos, and therefore the space in the middle is plantable. And therefore, mutta lahavi zer lasham. You can put other seeds there, meaning other grains or greens could be planted between each row, which is viewed as an individual row as opposed to a collective kerem. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, ma'ase b'tzalmon, this happened in Tzalmon, be'echad, with a certain person, shenata es karmo al sheshesra ama sheshesra ama. He planted his vineyard in such a way that he had one row of vines every 16 amos. And this person was especially interested in efficiency, so he wanted to maximize the use of his field. Not only did he allow himself to plant his, let's say, his wheat between each row of grapevines by distancing the grapevines to 16 amos apart, he also knew, let's say, I'm making this up, but let's say that he could get more efficiency out of the field if he would do like crop rotation, meaning he would alternate where he planted his wheat. So let's say, for argument's sake, that, you know, he had 10 rows of vines, and between each of the rows, he had, you know, 9 areas he could plant. So he would basically, in the even years, let's say, plant in the even sections and leave the odd sections fallow, and in the odd years, plant the odd sections, leaving the even sections fallow. So planting alternate years, alternate sections between the vines. Now, because there's a problem of planting directly beneath a vine, separate from the requirement to distance oneself at least 6 tfachim from each of the vines, one couldn't plant directly beneath the vines themselves if they grew beyond the trunk, because that 6 tefach or 4 amma measurement comes from is measured from the base of the trunk of the grapevine. So because one can't plant beneath the foliage, the vines, you know, the tendrils themselves, what this person did is hayahofech sa'ar shtei shuros letzad achas. He would put in alternating years all the foliage, the vines, you know, out of, let's say, in the even years, out of the away from the even sections, and he would then plant that even section. Ubashana acheres, the next year, hayahofech es sear, he would move the vines the other way, and lamakam acher to the other side, bazeres abor, and plant the odd sections. And that way he could maximize the efficiency of the field. Uva ma'ase lifnei chachamim, the rabbis heard what he was doing, ve'tiro, and they permitted it. So in other words, the point of the Mishnah is, one may plant between individual rows of vines, as long as there are 16 amos between each row, it's no problem, you can plant as much as you want between the rows, provided you just give the 6 tefach spacing away from the trunks of those vines, and of course you can't plant beneath the vines themselves, because it looks like kilayim, and therefore he would move any foliage and greenery away, and if, you know, for crop rotation purposes, he would alternate which of the alternating sections of his field he would plant in this case, my example, the wheat, whatever he was planting besides four grapes. And the rabbis allowed that. Now let me just, I sort of translated very loosely, because so it should be clear as I could. Let me just go back one more time and translate more literally. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Ma'ase b'Tzalmon, it happened in Salmon, Be'echad, an individual, Shanata es Karmo al Sheshes Ra'ama, he planted his vineyard in such a way that there was one row every 16 Amos, Vayahofech Sa'ar Shtei Shuros L'Tzad Achas, he would move away, Sa'ar literally means hair, but it means, you know, all the greenery, of two rows L'Tzad Achas to one side, like toward each other, V'Zorea es Hanir, and plant what I translate as the evens, but near actually means the plowed section, as opposed, in contrast to the boor, the unplowed from the year before section. So near always means the plowed but unplanted section. So you'd plant there. Ubishana acheres, the following year, hayahofech es asear lemakam acher. He would literally just, he'd move the hairs somewhere else. But again, what it means, figuratively is he would move all the foliage to uncover the other field where he hadn't planted in the past year. Vizorea es abor, and then he would plant that part of his vineyard. Bor here means the part he didn't plant last year. Literally, bor means like virgin soil, ground that had never been planted anything. But here we're calling near plowed for this year, and bor hadn't been plowed since the year before. Uvamas lefnei chachamim, and the story came before the chacham v'hitiro, they allowed it to be. Now, the last part of this Mishnah and the last part of the Perek is very important because it undoes what was said in this Mishnah up to now, in the previous Mishnah. It says, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Shimon Omrim, Afanoteas Karmal Shmona, Shmona Amos. They say, even if you plant your vineyard, that each row of vines is just 8 Amos from one from the next, Mutter. It's permissible to plant between those rows. That is to say, that while we said in the previous Mishnah and this Mishnah, if you have, multiple rows of vines, so then the distance between one vine and the next that would allow those vines to be considered connected in part of a single vineyard, a kerem, is 16 amos. But Reb Meir and Reb Shimon disagree, and they say, no, if those rows aren't within 8 amos one to the next, meaning less than 8 amos spacing, then they're not considered connected, and each row is an individual set of individual vines, and there's no kerem, no vineyard, and one could plant up to 6 tfachim, as opposed to 4 amos, of each row of vines. And that is the halacha. That is to say, the halacha is like Reb Shimon and Reb Meir, that the distance between one row and the next to constitute a kerem must be not 16, but rather just less than 8 almost for them to be considered to be a part of a single kerem.